Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
So we have been in the season of Epiphany, this even season after Epiphany. It started with the visit from the East. Remember way back, you know, when Jesus was born just a few weeks ago, months ago. And they saw the light of the star, and they responded to that by following where they felt called. And during the season of Epiphany, depending on which liturgical year we're in, we have various epiphany events. Now, epiphany means a revelation, like aha, it's that aha moment. It's now I understand, now I see, now I get it. And that's why light is such an important aspect of this. It's also in the season of growing light. Back on the day of Epiphany, January 6th, it was dark at 5 o'clock. I mean dark. Now it's not quite so dark at 5 o'clock. It's great. The light is returning. The light is coming. And that's a great thing. There are things that Jesus does that demonstrate, that manifest the presence of God during the Epiphany season. One of them is the wedding at Cana, turning water into wine. There are other ways that God is made manifest, shows God's self in light and life during this season, and always, but especially during this season. So here we are on the last season after the Epiphany, the last Sunday. And the reason we say the last Sunday rather than the 6th or the 8th or whatever is that it's not always on the same day, because we're getting into the Easter season, which depends on the phases of the moon, and so that backs up into when Lent starts, and that backs up into when Epiphany ends, and so it's the last season of Epiphany. Sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's later. But it is a fitting bookend to this Epiphany season, because there is light and there is revelation in the Transfiguration. It's one of those high Sundays. We have white paraments. I'm wearing a white stole. And white is the color of Christmas and Easter, and it's also the color of the Transfiguration and the Ascension. Those aren't quite at the same level. And the Transfiguration actually moves around in different calendars. It's kind of a lesser white Sunday. Not quite so high holy day, but lesser holy day. And it's interesting because on Christmas we can say Jesus was born. On Epiphany we can say the wise men arrived. On Easter we can say Jesus rose. There's an event. Transfiguration is almost a non-event. Nothing really happened. Jesus took three of his disciples, the three closest ones. They went up the mountain. They saw some really cool stuff. And then they went back down. And everything down below was pretty much the same as it had been before. So why? Why is this a high holy day. There's a lot of symbolism in this event. One of them is that there were three disciples, and there were three superheroes. There was Moses, there was Elijah, and there was Jesus. Three is always important because we believe in a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in fact, the words coming from heaven on this occasion were the same words that came from heaven on the occasion of the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is definitely a Trinitarian event. There's the symbolism of the mountain. Moses went up the mountain to receive the law. Elijah and Jesus spent time in the mountains, in the wilderness. And the three that the disciples saw are important not only for themselves, but for what they represent. Moses, the lawgiver, the one who went up the mountain, received the Ten Commandments, took it down, led the people through the wilderness, representing law, the Torah, the basis of the Hebrew scripture and ours. Elijah, the great prophet. And Elijah is up here representing prophecy, God's revelation to God's people. That was the purpose of the prophets. Another major section of scripture. And then we have Jesus. And of course, Jesus is the new covenant, the gospel, the good news. So we have the law, and we have the prophets, and we have the gospel represented. We have something that's a little bit more subtle here, and that is death and life. Now, Moses was thousands and thousands of years before, and Elijah was thousands of years before, and Jesus is now, from the perspective of the disciples, and yet to come. Moses lived a long time. I don't remember how many hundreds of years old he was, but he lived a long time. And then when it was time for him to go, and he was well prepared, and he had set things up for his absence, which good leaders do. They set things up so that they can be carried on without themselves. He went away, and according to the scripture, God was with him and God buried him, and nobody knows where. So we assume he's dead, but we didn't actually see it. Elijah was a little bit different. Elijah had the apprentice Elisha, and when his time came, he told Elisha, keep your eye on this, you got to see this. And there was a chariot of fire and horsemen that came down and picked him up, and Elisha saw it. He said, I see it. I see the chariot. I see the horsemen. I see you being carried into heaven. And that was the last anybody saw of Elijah. Did he die? Did he get carried straight to heaven alive? We don't know. We do know that Elisha saw that event, and that Elisha was the one who received the baton and the mantle of Elijah, and he carried on Elijah's work. Now, Jesus, we know more than Peter, James, and John did at the time. He was just their rabbi. He was their leader. He was their friend. They recognized that he was super special. We know even more. We know that Jesus definitely died. There were lots of witnesses. He was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. He went into the tomb. The rock covered it. We know that. We also know that the rock was moved from the tomb, and it was found to be empty, and that he appeared to other witnesses. And then there was another one of those high holy days, and that's the ascension, where Jesus was taken up into heaven, somewhat like Elijah, taken up into heaven after having spent more time with his disciples. Sometimes we say that there's nothing in this world that's certain except for death and taxes. Death is in doubt here. Death does not seem to have had the last word in any of these cases. But this is something that the disciples saw when they went up there. The only thing that changed was the way Jesus looked to them and the fact that Jesus was having conversation with Moses and Elijah, superheroes of the faith from long, long before. They're right there in front of them. What they received was the gift that Jesus gave them of taking them up onto that mountain so that they could see these things, so that they could have this revelation of God's presence, God's conquering of death, the bright light of God's presence, and the gift of seeing Jesus more clearly than they ever had before. They knew quite a bit about him by this time. And now they have seen even more clearly who he is. And so the world looks different when you get to see those things. That's what happened. And that stayed with them. They held that vision in their minds and in their hearts because they couldn't stay up there, much as they would have loved to stay up there. Peter was frustrated in his plan of building shelters to keep everybody together, to stay in this beautiful place and this wonderful time. And Jesus said, no, we're going back down the mountain. We're going back to the life that we're living, that we have not left behind, because those people need us. And so the light became more dim, and they went back down the mountain, and they found that there was darkness, and there were demons, and there was destruction, and there was despair, and there was doubt. But they had seen the light. They had seen the hope. They had seen what was and is to come. They held on to that vision. And Jesus told them, don't tell anybody yet, but tell them later. And so we have it. We have that gift of being able to see Jesus and Moses and Elijah and who they were and what they did, and that God is always present. And yes, we have to face the darkness that surrounds us. But we can do that. We can do that because God has shown us what is real and who is really in charge. Hold on to that vision amidst all the darkness. The light of God will not be extinguished. Thanks be to God. Amen.